Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Coming to you from an undisclosed broadcast location. One voice, delivering truth and pain. Presented by Guns.com. Trusted by millions of gun owners nationwide. This is Lock and Load with Bill Frady.
Hour number three. From the Guns.com radio studio, this is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by DeSantis.
Holster.com, the home of DeSantis quality-built American-made products for 45-plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American-made leather and kydex holsters for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment.
We perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
Check him out at DeSantisHolster.com. Joining us now from, are you still in Dallas?
I am in Dallas.
Okay. Still in Dallas, normally I would say from the lovely confines of Yuma. But joining us again from Dallas, Texas is writer Dean Weingarten. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Bill.
Well, let's talk about this buyback where the guy printed 110 guns. Because that's funny.
It's kind of brilliant, really.
Yeah.
And I've got some more information because I've been doing some research. And most of what he got paid for were 3D printed auto sears, which are, of course, illegal.
Are they illegal if they exist outside of a gun?
I think you could. This is kind of a slightly gray area, but I think most ATF agents would probably say they were illegal. He printed them up, 30 to a batch on a $200 printer. And they're very small. They're only about the size of, maybe a one-inch nut each. And so he could print 30 of them on the bed at once. Took 6 hours to print 30, and he got paid, $250 a piece for them.
And he got paid for them, too, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, he did. Well, he got gift cards anyway. Not quite the same thing, but gift cards. So whether people will be trying to figure out some way to prosecute, supposedly they don't have his name. Supposedly it was anonymous. Supposedly he had immunity. But we know how that goes if they're really out to get you.
Although this guy, Kim, who is, I guess, the printing guy, he did right. The statement I like where he says, you're causing people to show up at these events and they don't actually reduce crime whatsoever. They did get to get out there, and I guess they get the press where they're saying, well, we knitted 177 ghost guns.
What's that number? 177.
Yeah.
He, at most, turned in 110. So there were 67 others that were turned in. I've learned that there were two other individuals, at least, that got some remunerated somewhere between $4,000 and $5,000 each for what they turned in. So there were actually three individuals involved, not just one. And that is a positive thing.
I wonder where the gift cards were from.
That's a good question. It sounds like there's sort of a Visa card or something, MasterCard, something like that, so that you can use them just about anywhere. It's the same as you could ordinarily use a credit card. but it puts a maximum you can purchase. So the most you can buy is a roughly about $500 item. You can't pay $500 on it and then say, oh, I got this other card. We'll put another $500 on that. So there might be ways to work around it. But if you're trying to buy things over the net, you probably are only able to do a maximum of $500 per item. But there's lots of stuff you can buy that's fungible. You know, he could buy a lot of ammunition, for example. So he's going to get his money's worth. He probably already has. My understanding is that he purchased, he used about 12 hours of time to print the items and then had to drive about 12 hours, six there, six back. Well, plus he spent some hours there kind of negotiating where they actually arranged to hand over the valuta to him as they promised they would do. So he probably has over 24 hours of labor into this for $21,000 of gift cards.
I'm looking at one of the guns that I see on the table there. And if that has it's a long gun, but I can't tell that it has a barrel. I can't really.
Which one are you thinking of? Top, middle, bottom?
Bottom.
Oh, that's a High Point carbine.
Oh.
And the barrel shroud is right next to the forearm. It's relatively low. I can't tell, but it's probably a 9mm. That's the most common. They're not bad little carbines, but they were paying, I think, $200 for a so-called assault rifle. I'm not sure it fits the definition, but I think they squeezed it in because it looks strange.
Well, it does look strange. The buttstock is bigger than the handguard.
You see, the way they made those, or the way they make them, they're pretty popular. I have one, or had one, of the model 995, which is the 9mm. And it was a reliable gun. They start with the High Point pistol. Then they build a frame to hold the pistol action with a 16-plus-inch barrel. And then they put the buttstock on the back of what was the would have been a pistol frame. So it's kind of a hybrid design made from a pistol. It uses the pistol magazines, and they're relatively inexpensive. Well, I'm not sure you said it right now. I see them going for about $360, $75 or so.
Yeah.
Well, you can get an actual AR-15. Style rifle because the parts have become so cheap. I've seen them advertised at right at $400.
Yeah, yeah. Although I'm looking, I'm very interested in this Allen and Wheelock side hammer revolver. Is that the old cowboy gun up there towards the middle of the table, towards the top?
Cowboy era.
Yeah.
It came out about 18. Well, I guess it was cowboy right in the middle and the beginning of the Civil War, about 1860, 65. It was only produced for about 6 or 7 years.
Right.
And they only produced about 1,000 of them because they violated the Smith & Wesson patent on bored through chambers.
Right.
And so Smith & Wesson sued them and stopped the production. So they're a rare early cartridge gun. And like I said, there were very few of them. And it looks precisely like a Allen and
Wheelock
and Allen pistol.
Yeah.
I mean, all the features that I can identify of those are visible on this item, and there it is, and they're going to destroy it because they're idiots.
There you go. Well, we knew that already, though. We're coming up on the first break. Coming up on the first break, this article is straight from Ammoland.com. It is the biggest website of its type in the United States today. Which makes Dean, or in the world, actually, for that matter, which makes Dean the biggest writer. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Mm-hmm.
Aero Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Aero Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Aero Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders. Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th, Aero Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
At MGS, we have what it takes to reinvent yourself. With a curriculum designed to balance work, family, and a gun repair education, MGS provides the gateway into one of the fastest-growing segments of the gun industry. Modern Gun School's mission is to provide high-quality distance education using time-tested materials and hands-on projects designed to develop a proficiency in both the technique and the business of gunsmithing. Go to mgs.edu. MGS Trade School. Your future is waiting.
Did you know that you could easily be saving up to 90% on your taxes by simply making a phone call? That's right. The Fortune 500, the globalists, all the big billionaires and millionaires, they know about the loopholes written into the law where most of them pay almost zero tax. In fact, many of them pay no tax. You would see it on the news. How are they able to do that? But the common person can. So whether you're a school teacher, a lawyer, a scientist, a millionaire, a billionaire, or whether you're just a regular blue-collar worker, everybody should learn about the legal, lawful loopholes. And we've got an organization and a group that I am so proud to be working with, American Tax Solutions. GCN has a special deal with them to get you the best rates. Here's the most important part. They save you money and then get part of the savings. This is an absolute win-win solution. You've got to give them a call at 855-907-4841 or GCNTaxCut. That's GCNTaxCut.com. The only way you miss out is not making the phone call. Make it now.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for kids, teens, or young adults. It's just not.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals and volatile organic compounds into your body.
And nicotine, the same highly addictive substance found in regular cigarettes.
Nicotine can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
Affecting learning, memory, attention, and impulse control. And priming the brain for other addictions.
Vaping products also come in kid-friendly flavors that can make them appealing to youth.
And many kids also use other drugs, like marijuana, in vaping devices.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media,
many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping, because when you talk, they hear you.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
From the Guns.com radio studio, this is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by DeSantis.
Holster.com, the home of DeSantis quality built American-made products for 45-plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American-made leather and kydex holsters for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment.
We perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
Check them out at DeSantisHolster.com. Talking to Dean Weingarten, and I've been dying to ask you a question. I have recently Tara sent me a Raging Hunter in 357 Magnum. I think it has a 5.25-inch barrel. Big aluminum barrel shroud on it. The gun doesn't move. It's ported with four ports on either side of the barrel. It doesn't move when you pull the trigger on the heaviest load you can put into it. It's a 7-shot. I mean, it's a lovely gun. But at the same time, I have my 10mm Poly 80 here. It was made for me by Ace Firearms. And with all of your stuff that you have done and all of your database that you have created on Veritax, if you're walking out in the woods and, you're hunting or you're doing something else, I just wanted to know which would you think is would be the better one in most cases.
Well, it's such a tough decision. Both of them have advantages and disadvantages. When I went to Alaska hunting, which wasn't a very successful hunt, but I went there a few years ago, about a decade ago, I carried a Taurus 7-shot revolver with a 6.5-inch barrel that was ported very much like a Raging Hunter, but lighter. It's their Taurus Titanium series of revolvers. And, I loved it. I think it was one of the best 357 revolvers I've ever had. The recoil, as you're talking about with your little heavier revolver, it's even less, was very manageable. I mean, the sights did not move that much when you fired it. And as a revolver, you have the next shot capability. If there's a bad cartridge, you just move on to the next one. Revolvers are notoriously reliable with all kinds of different loads. Now, the 10 millimeter has other advantages. One, because of the polymer frame, it's a lot lighter. It probably weighs about half of what the Taurus revolver does. And it holds probably 15 cartridges in the magazine, which is double what the revolver holds. Not a little more than double, but 15 versus 7. Now, the recoil is going to be more, and it's more ammunition sensitive, too. With the Taurus, you can put a 38-watt cutter in one chamber, put a heavy 357 with hard cast bullets in the next chamber, and both of them will go bang. And it doesn't require any specific impulse of the cartridge to function other than to get the bullet out of the barrel. As I said, when I went up to Alaska a decade ago, I took that 7-shot revolver. I didn't feel bad about it. I put a lanyard on it when I was sleeping in the tent, attached the lanyard to my right hand and about 2 foot of lanyard to, or 3 foot of lanyard to the pistol. I had to make I removed the grips and put a lanyard through the frame outside the grip so that I could have something to attach to on that particular gun. But that was my choice, and I think it was a very good one. On the other hand, I think the 10 millimeter semi-automatic has proven itself as being very effective. And it's comforting to have those additional cartridges available. And we've seen cases where, and they're not common, but there are cases where having a lot of cartridges available made a difference. There was a case, in Montana, where two people with semi-automatic handguns fired 31 shots at a charging grizzly bear and managed to stop at 5 feet from where they were standing.
Wow.
So, go ahead.
I was just saying, that's a lot of shots. And then
that's a lot of
5 feet away, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, when you want those extra shots, it's nice to have them there. It's a toss-up as far as I'm concerned. Personal preference. Which one do you shoot better? How much weight are you willing to carry? How much ammunition do you want to carry? I like them both. I think they're both excellent choices. The 10 millimeter is probably a bit more popular now in Alaska than 357 Magnum, but they really are almost twins in ballistics.
Right.
The 10, you can shoot a little bit heavier bullets, but you can shoot 180 grain out of a 357, and you can probably go 220 out of the 10 millimeters. But if you look at the energies and velocities and all that, they're pretty close. There's really not much difference. I'd say ballistically, the 10 millimeter is closer to the 357 Magnum than it is to the 41 Magnum.
Right.
And that's plenty. I mean, from what I've seen, that will do the job. We have the most successes for people defending themselves with handguns with 44 Magnums. But that's just because I think a lot more people carry the 44 Magnum than anything else when they're in bear country. But we have plenty of successes with other calibers. It's just that the 44 Magnum is plenty enough to do the job, and it does it pretty well.
Right. I have this romantic notion that the wheel gun is going to be a little more accurate. Right, which I
tell you, those tires, I found them to be extremely accurate.
Right.
And I think they probably are a little bit more accurate. I don't know if it makes a lot of difference, but I would expect with good ammunition, a good revolver to hold an inch at 25 yards. You know, from a rest or something, you know, where you're measuring the accuracy of the revolver and the ammunition and not the person shooting. Whereas the 10-millimeter semi-autos are probably going to be more in the 2 to 2.5-inch range. But, you know, is that a practical difference for bear defense? Hard to say.
Right.
It's another difference between the two, and you can make your choices. I have always been amazed at how accurate quality revolvers are. I mean, revolvers just seem to have something with that fixed barrel and that cone at the back of the barrel that sort of like seems to swage bullets to just the right size, it seems to make it very, very accurate. To give you an unrelated example, after President Reagan was shot,
right,
I obtained an RG-14 with a 3-inch barrel. It's one of the cheapest revolvers that was ever made. And it shows it. It's got a terrible trigger pull. On double action, I would get misfires about every one shot out of six. But it was accurate.
Hang on for me. I want to hear the rest of this when we get back. Talking to Dean Weingarten, this is Lock and Load.
At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
Holster.com, the home of DeSantis quality-built American-made products for 45-plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American-made leather and kydex holster for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment.
We perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The International Monetary Fund is cutting its global growth forecast for next year. The IMF predicting global growth will slow to 2.7% in 2023 and warns the worst is yet to come. The report cites Russia's invasion of Ukraine and the cost of living crisis among the factors that'll make it feel like a recession for millions worldwide. As the fall season progresses, certain viruses like the flu and COVID-19 are more active. White House COVID response coordinator Dr. Ajit Jha is encouraging Americans to update their vaccinations as we get closer to the holidays.
What happens in the weeks and months ahead will have a large impact on how the winter goes.
And really what happens in this winter is largely up to us as the American people.
This is USA Radio News.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Americans have the most colorful language in the world. And that vibrant language is our basis for thinking in big ways, new ways, efficient ways, and better ways. Americans have freedom of speech. The pairing of our colorful language and freedom of speech has made us the people and the nation that we are today. Imagine what it would be like not having the freedom to speak our minds, communicate our thoughts and ideas, and hear those from others. Americans have a passion for and yearn for the truth. There are those who want to destroy our freedom and right to hear the truth. The truth is under attack. GCN is under attack. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to free speech. Would you like to join us? Please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. Please help us bring you the truth 24 hours per day. I'm Vincent Finelli.
Guns.com radio studio. This is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by DeSantis.
Holster.com, the home of DeSantis quality built American made products for 45 plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American made leather and kydex holsters for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment.
We perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
Check them out at DeSantisHolster.com. We're talking to Dean Weingarten. We're talking about the 357 Magnum versus the 10mm out in the field with bears. And when a bear is charging, does a bear charge at you in a straight line? Because I've seen video of these things on a charge, and it's almost like they're running in a zigzag pattern or looking for something to zigzag in and out of.
Different things. Sometimes it's a straight line. Sometimes they're avoiding obstacles. Sometimes they stop and move to the side and start up. I mean, it's not something where you can say, this is what happens every time. So I think it varies a lot. And so when people think that they have an image or a video in their head about how bear attacks happen, they're probably wrong. Because they happen in a lot of different ways. And it's not just clearly the same way every time. It can vary enormously. It can vary a lot with one bear during the same incident. So we don't know that it's in a straight line or a zigzag or whatever. I've seen both. And it depends a lot on the terrain and the bear. And one person said, you can't predict what a bear is going to do because the bear doesn't know what it's going to do.
Right. Now, a bear is very fast on a charge, aren't they? I mean, they move deceptively slow when I see them just walking about in the videos. I see them walking about. But when they're coming at you, they're covering ground quick, aren't they?
Bears. They can go 35 to 40 miles an hour straight at you.
Right.
And some attacks are like that, very fast. Just seconds to react. But others, they're not coming as full out like that. I've seen quite a few cases where they're going at somewhat slower speeds. I don't think it's unusual for them to come at you at, say, 20 miles an hour. But I've seen video of, there's a video of like a sow bear charging a black bear from like 300 yards away, which just seems crazy. But, the bear expert, that many people quote, talks about, a sow grizzly charging a ranger in a park. He was on a road and he could see these grizzlies, the sow and a cub like 200 yards away. And that bear charged him from 200 yards.
Wow.
So, and others are very, very close, and some of them there's a little hesitation. So it's not uniform by any means. So you can, there's a famous case, I wrote it up on Amaland about a fellow who had a 38 special, and a sow grizzly walked up on him, but just kept getting closer and closer and closer, and he felt he had to shoot when it got within 11 feet. But because he had bought into the mythology that a bullet will bounce off a bear's skull if you aim straight at it, he aimed a little bit to the side and probably missed the brain, but he stunned the bear a bit, and it kind of like slumped, and then it took off, and then it, when it came back later, it was a, didn't get quite as close to him, and he didn't shoot at it at that time. So it was a useful save for the pistol, and if he'd aimed straight on the brain, probably would have killed the bear with the first shot.
Right.
So these are very complicated situations, and you, like with any self-defense situation, don't get too dedicated to a particular scenario that you think will happen in your head, because it's very likely some different kind of scenario will happen, and then you'll have predicated your responses on a scenario that's different than what is reality.
Right. I have seen some guys, and maybe these are hunters that have been out there for quite some time and hunted for a long time. Maybe they're professional guides or whatever. They seem to have take for granted. They'll be like, okay, here comes the bear with a it's a fake charge. It's a false charge.
Yeah.
It's an intimidation charge, and they let the bear get awfully close to them.
They do. They often do.
Yeah, and then the bear may pull up and everything, and I guess they wouldn't release the video if the bear didn't pull up, because they wouldn't be around to put it up. But, you know, the bear does pull up and stop short of attacking them. But, I mean, is there a way to know that? Is there a way to look at that?
That's
a fake charge.
I don't think there's a reliable way to know. But I think what they're calling fake charges are probably more common. I think if you stand your ground and you appear like you're not afraid of the bear, as it gets closer and closer, is probably thinking, what's going on? This guy's not afraid of me. You know, maybe he's tougher than I think. And so if you're dedicated and willing to act aggressively, you know, act like you are the one in charge, it's more likely to have a fake charge.
Right.
And we've commonly seen cases where if people turn and run, if they're afraid of the bear, they're more likely to get pounced on and chomped. So it's a complicated feedback loop situation that I don't think anybody can accurately predict all the time. But the fact is that fatal bear attacks are very rare, and even attacks where people are injured and have to go to the hospital are not that common. They're about seven times as common as fatal attacks. But it, how you react to the bear probably has a lot to do with it. And frankly, we've got plenty of bears. If all of the people who are aggressively charged by bears killed the bears, it probably wouldn't make a dent in the bear population.
Right.
So it's not like it's a critical issue. Let's see, Stefan Herrero is one of the most cited bear researchers. He and I disagree on some things, but he wrote and said, if a bear is charging at you, if it gets within 50 to 100 feet, you're probably going to have to do something. You won't have much time after that. So even bear researchers who I would say are extremely pro-bear aren't willing to let that bear get real close to you before they do something.
Right.
So, you know, if a bear gets, I would probably take about 25 yards, you know, 75 feet as a reasonable sort of distance. If the bear is all out coming, I mean, you just don't have much time. You have to do something.
Well, I was going to ask, have we ever timed a bear to see how fast it takes him to cover 50 yards or 75 yards?
Yeah, some people have. There have been cases where people were, like, driving down a road, the bear's ahead of them. And I have read that they clock bears at about 40 miles an hour, which is pretty fast.
Yeah.
That's about 60 feet a second. So that's pretty fast. That's, you know, at 25 yards, they only got a little over a second to get the shots off.
So we got about a minute left, so let me ask you this question. So if I'm out in the woods and I don't know that much about bears except what you've told me, and I have my 10 millimeter and another one, a bear squares up on me and starts sort of coming my way, should I just default to caution and start shooting at the bear?
Well, how close is the bear is the biggest thing.
Yeah.
And does the bear know you are there? That's another thing. You know, sometimes the bear is not aware you're there.
Yeah.
If the bear knows you're there and still coming at you, that's a pretty good indication that you got a serious problem.
There you go.
And if the bear is moving faster than a walk, you know, if it's running at you and it's closer than 25 yards, I would be shooting.
Hang on for me, if you will. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
What is the ultimate survival food? If you are a prepper, then you know that the most important storage food is protein. Not just any protein, but a complete protein that supplies all 20 amino acids in their renatured and usable state. Renatured protein will be broken down into the 20 amino acids. These 20 amino acids will support muscle tissue repair, immunity, and the repair and proper functioning of every organ and tissue of your body. Carbohydrates and fats cannot do that. Stored pre-made meals, while convenient, are also already cooked and therefore denatured. The Max Planck Institute states that 50% of the amino acids making up a protein cooked to normal cooking temperatures are destroyed and therefore toxic to the liver, kidneys, and body. For the ultimate in non-denatured and virtually 100% assimilable protein that stores for decades at a time, consider getting Green Meadow Whey. The protein in Green Meadow Whey will support your energy, mood, strength, glutathione production, immunity, repair, and more. To learn more, go to bestwhyprotein.net or call 888-988-3325.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
From the Guns.com radio studio, this is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by DeSantis.
Holster.com, the home of DeSantis quality-built American-made products for 45-plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American-made leather and kydex holsters for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment.
We perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
Check him out, DeSantisHolster.com. Anyway, talking to Dean Weingarten, still in Dallas, but he's still writing stuff. And he put an article out, his latest article, I think. Let's see. Yes, this one published yesterday. Or today. Excuse me, today. About a Supreme Court decision that has vacated a Massachusetts Second Amendment case. You want to give me the details on this, please, sir?
To be really interesting because it is so blatantly about infringements on the right to bear arms. The case is, Morin v. Liver. And, Morin is a Massachusetts resident who, I think it was back, before 2004 had gotten a carry permit in Massachusetts, which is a fairly involved process. It's not something you just write a check and fill out a form and send it in. And he got one, and he would carry commonly. He carried a loaded firearm with him daily, just as a matter of course. And he thought, back before 2004, that having this permit allowed him to carry other places. I mean, it's a reasonable thing. You get a Massachusetts driver's license. It's not limited to Massachusetts. Well, he made a visit to the District of Columbia, and he believed his permit would be honored there. So he's going to visit the American Museum of Natural History, and there is a sign that says no guns allowed. And being a particularly law-abiding American citizen, he goes to a security guard and says, hey, I've got a gun. I don't want to break the law. Is there some place I can check it so that I, you know, don't take it inside? And the security guard, instead of telling him, well, that's a problem in D.C., called up the D.C. police, and they arrested him. And then they put him on trial, and then they convicted him. I think it was a plea bargain where he had to serve, like, probation for a couple months, but he spent a few days in jail, I believe, before he got bonded out. And then he had his Massachusetts permit taken from him. So not only did he have the damage of having to jump through all these government hoops in the first place, to get a permit to carry so that he could exercise his Second Amendment right to bear arms, But then he goes to D.C., and they arrest him and convict him of a crime and fine him and put him on probation. And then back in Massachusetts, even though he wasn't convicted of a felony, they say, well, you were convicted of a gun crime, so we're not going to allow you to have guns anymore. So he takes the case. Actually, he waited for a while, believing that, you know, if he waited a certain while, it would be all right. He goes back to the Massachusetts courts, and he asks for another a gun permit to have a gun in his home, not a carry permit, just carry it, just to have it in his home. And they said, no, you had this incident in D.C., and you are convicted of a gun crime. So we're not going to allow you to have a permit, even to have a gun in your home, not just deprive you of a carry permit. So he went to the courts and said, they are depriving me of my Second Amendment rights. And it went to the federal district court, and they found that he did not have any right to carry because he'd been convicted of a crime involving a gun. And so then he appealed to the First Circuit of Appeals, the Federal Appeals Court that Massachusetts falls under. And the three-judge panel there said, no, you don't have any right to have a, carry a gun outside the home. But during this process, the Supreme Court put forward the Bruin decision that says, yes, the Second Amendment means what it says. You have a right to carry guns outside the home. And then this case was percolating up through the system. And shortly after they decided Bruin, they sent four cases back to the various, to various circuits to be reheard because they said, you heard them wrong. Bruin shows you how you're supposed to do it. And then this, about a month later, is the fifth case that they've granted cert, which means they decided to hear the case, and they said, look, it's all wrong. We cited this in Bruin. Send this case back, in this case, to the Second Circuit, and rehear it. No, excuse me, First Circuit, and rehear it because you decided it wrongly. Take Bruin into effect. This guy has a right to carry outside the home, and you're telling us he doesn't. You did it wrong. So this is another fruit of the Bruin decision. And we're going to see more of them. I'll make that prediction quite confidently.
Let me ask you a question. With this, when they send these cases back and everything, what compels these lower courts to do as they're directed by the Supreme Court? Is this just some sort of decorum that has always been in place? And is this, is the reason they don't, haven't done it up to this point because they've never had this sort of stern dressing down that they seem to be getting now when they play these little games with this stuff? It seems like they're slapped around now.
Here's my opinion. This has happened before with other cases. It happened with some First Amendment cases. It happened with some capital punishment cases. It happened with Brown versus Board of Education in the South. And what happens is that the penalties that the Supreme Court sort of places on the lower courts get progressively harsher. I mean, instead of saying rehear the case, then we'll say that law is unconstitutional, make a new law. Or in they can hold lower courts and judges in contempt. And if you get reversed by the Supreme Court, you're less likely to be appointed to a higher level on the bench. And if you get held in the contempt of the judge who's failing to follow what the Supreme Court says, your career as a judge is probably over. So there are methods that they can use and have used in the past. What happened here with the Second Amendment is that they were so intent on thwarting the opinion of the court and we're so hoping that Hillary Clinton would be capture the presidency in 2016 and then appoint leftists to the court, and then they could undo all the precedents set by Heller and by McDonald. And that didn't happen. But I think that's what many of the lower courts and in the courts of appeals on both coasts were hoping would happen, and it didn't. And now I think they will pay better attention. Did you get that?
I did. I was just trying to. Well, you know what? We're coming. We're about to run out of time. As I'm looking at this now, it seems like all of these cases are getting back to the Supreme Court faster than I've ever seen them. It used to be they could play this little game where they would throw something against the wall and let it stick for a minute, and it would be years before they could, before they, you know, they would have their day. But since Bruin has happened, they keep having people being, they're like the dean, and people keep sending them to the dean's office, all these gun grabbers and everything. I mean, I would expect to see something happen here very shortly concerning New York with the Gun Owners of America temporary restraining order that's out there. But
I agree. I think that is happening, and part of it can be said to three letters. RBG, there's no more Ruth Bader Ginsburg on the court.
Okay. Well, we're about to run out of time. We're going to run out of time. So thank you for joining me. I hope you've enjoyed your vacation with your daughter and all this other fun stuff.
And I enjoy being on the program as well. And hopefully in a couple of days, I'll be on again.
Roger that. And as far as me, as far as I'm concerned, be back again in 21 hours between now and then. Remember this. It has never been about gun control. Not once, not ever. It has been. It's always going to be about total control. This has been Lock and Load.
What's in a name? If that name is Ace Firearms, you've just entered a very expensive business. First, a fully appointed gun shop with all the guns, ammo, and accessories you could possibly imagine. But then you enter the manufacturing facility that is home to Red Alligator Concealment, Militia Arms Customs, and so much more. Ace Firearms is beyond a simple gun shop. This is a totally peerless operation. To find out more, go to acefirearms.com. Ace Firearms. This is only the beginning.
At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Using the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.